Welcome to Better Sex, where you get the information and inspiration to create and enjoy your best possible sex life. Join your host, sex therapist Jessa Zimmerman, as she brings you expert guests, helpful tips, knowledge, and strategies to improve your intimate relationships. And now, your host, Jessa Zimmerman.
Hey, it's another episode of the Better Sex Podcast, and this is Jessa welcoming you back. Today's conversation aligns so well with what I do in my Intimacy with Ease method, right? Because so much of the time I am talking to people who are struggling to feel desire. They're the lower desire partner in a relationship. They might have little to no libido. They're thinking they're broken. What's wrong? What do we do about this? How do we unlock this desire? And I'm talking today to Dr. Brandy. She's actually an OBGYN, but she's got a sex and pleasure coaching part of her business where she's working specifically with women to cultivate pleasure and desire. So we're totally aligned in this. And I'm just so thankful she's here sharing some of her insights and what she's sort of discovered and put together in her work with her own clients to talk about how do we get in touch with libido and make space for this in our lives. I hope you enjoy it. And before we start the show today, it is sponsored by Intimacy with Ease. It's a method to help otherwise happy couples achieve a sex life that is easy and fun for both of them, so that you can actually just enjoy your sex life with zero stress. For more information, if you want to watch a brief little training video that's available, all of that, go to intimacywithease.com. So, Dr. Brandy, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you, Jessa, for having me. I am super excited for our conversation today.
Yeah, I would love if you would just share a little bit about your background, you know, as a doctor who's become a, I guess you'd say, libido coach, right? Like, how did one morph into the other? How do you see that work?
Well, it's funny. I am a board certified OBGYN, and I actually came to this work in a roundabout way, like even before I became a doctor and went into women's health, I was already kind of struggling with issues around low libido and trying to get answers. Uh-huh. And, you know, there really weren't any. And it's like, okay, well, you know, I know I'm not in menopause, because that's a common thing that comes up when I'm having, you know, patients that I see in the office. They're like, can you check my hormones? I think I might be in menopause. I knew I wasn't there because I was in my late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
And fine in that way. But I just kept running into, there's just not enough information. There's just not anything. And even, you know, going to different conferences for our organizations, like there might be a little something, maybe one session, but then, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot of solutions and stuff other than, you know, go on a vacation or, right, you know, do something fun, date night, lingerie, all the stuff. And it's like, okay, you do all that. And two or three times after you've done it, it's like, yeah, no, this is still not working.
Right.
What are we doing? And so that's really how the transformation morphed. I was already kind of searching for these answers. And really the breakdown of my relationship, my marriage, was the thing that was like, yeah, no, you got to find a solution. And now. And so as I was learning those things, you know, I would talk to my patients who would come in and I'm like, okay, well, listen, let's look at what's going on. Okay, I want you to do this for homework, and then check back in with me. And they would come, you know, in and they're like, oh my God, Dr. Brandy, this is working. And I'm like, yes, I know, because it was working for me too. And so that was like the highlight of my day. And it just became this passion of mine that I be able to even just explain what happens to the body in terms of arousal and desire and where it comes from and how we are able to use that energy and not keep kind of stuffing it and putting other things ahead of it. So that's a roundabout answer for how I came to be a women's sex and pleasure coach.
Well, that leads into what does go on with the body. What is it you're teaching people around arousal and desire? And
well, we talk about kind of where our thoughts and ideas start about sex and pleasure, because a lot of times what we think about it is shaped by our early years, what our family tells us about it, what our culture tells us about it, and then, you know, movies and romance novels and all these things. And there really is not a, okay, concrete, this is what happens. Like, you will have these desires. Like, your brain is your biggest sex organ. Mm-hmm. And if you can turn the brain on, then pretty much you can turn on the rest of everything and have an amazing time. So we go through the anatomy of things, of what happens when you are aroused. Like, what happens to your body? Your heart rate speeds up. You know, your breathing speeds up. Things, there is more blood flow to the genital areas. Things start to swell. You get lubrication and all of these things. We talk about what makes for a great orgasm and how you can consistently have that, because a lot of times women are not having consistent orgasms. And then it's like, well, why am I going through all of this hard work to really want to do it and try to get into it? And, you know, it's a coin toss if I'm actually going to have a good time. So, you know, it's kind of practical things like that, that really give women an idea of, okay, I'm not abnormal, I'm not broken. And these are the steps that I can take to be able to enjoy my sex life.
How does somebody know that their desire is at such a level that they could use help? Like, you know, like, I think culturally we have such an idea that, I don't know, sometimes women don't have much desire, or people don't have much desire. It's okay. Like, how do you know when this is fine? I don't need to do anything about this versus, wait, I should go see somebody. I should go see Dr. Brandy about this.
Yeah. You know,
where is it where people might,
where's the cutoff?
Yeah, right. Where's the question? Like, wait, maybe there's more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing to just understand is that your sex drive does kind of ebb and flow depending on certain things that happen, stages in your life, having babies, getting married, getting divorced, even perimenopause and menopause. But if it is to the point where it is causing you distress, is generally the time where I say, okay, it's time to have a conversation. Like, there is a technical definition of hypoactive sexual desire disorder, and there are certain criteria that you have to meet in order to have that diagnosis. But a lot of women don't necessarily meet that criteria, but they could still use the help. If, you know, you are finding that you're just not satisfied with your sex life, if you're finding that, you know, it's harder for you to want sex again, if you are not, obviously, if you're not having orgasms, please come and see me. There's some things we can do.
And why does this matter? I mean, you know, as a sex therapist, of course, I think this matters, but I'm just throwing you the softball. Like, right. Why does sex and pleasure matter?
Well, as you know, sex is an important part of who we are. Like, we have compartmentalized it to be just this kind of physical act that's happening. And it's like, okay, it feels good and all that stuff, but it really, like, if it's food and water versus sex, then, you know, I'm going to go for the food and water. But it really is so important that it's been hardwired into our brains. So that's the first piece. We have like a reflex in the older part of our brain that says, hey, we need to have sex, if for no other reason than to keep the species going. But it also shows up in so many other areas of our lives. So the space of intimacy and love, the space of even your self-confidence and your self-esteem, how you feel about your body, how you move in your body, your creativity, your problem-solving skills. And it's just, it really is, it plays a part in so much of how we show up in the world and how we step out into the world and embody our feminine power. And so that's one of the big things that I talk about with women. And then there was a study that came out last year that said women who were having great sex were enjoying the being seen as more a leader and great at problem solving. And, you know, that shift in how that woman is viewed could lead to promotions and affecting your bottom line.
Wow.
So it's not just frivolous.
There's some real world implications here.
Exactly. Exactly.
So how, you know, you were doing some research early on or some seeking early on and not finding anything. Where did you compile these helpful processes from? I mean, did you actually find some things that you had to put together? Did you discover them in your own? I mean, how did you find anything to work with, you know?
Right, right. So, you know, some of it is pulled from other teachers and educators in the sex space. And some of it is, you know, just stuff that I have found has been effective. And so, and some of them are just like practical things. Like when we talk about, when I talk with women and try to figure out what's happening, you know, I ask them about their sleep. And more times than not, we are not getting enough sleep. And even if we are, it's not continuous sleep, it's interrupted sleep. Mm. And so that dysregulates our system. And, you know, just having the awareness of, okay, this is how the body works. And if you, you know, are off on this piece, then this triggers that. And just kind of pulling things together. So even just with the sleep piece, it was like, okay, if you're not getting enough sleep, that's a chronic stressor. That actually will shift your body into this fight or flight mode. That gets your cortisol production up. And if your cortisol production is up, that actually is altering the production of the sex hormones, because their common precursor is a cholesterol molecule. And so your body has to decide at that point, do I do fight or flight or do I do sex hormones? Is it time to have a baby or do we need to run out of here or wow. fight somebody? And so, you know, just something as simple as that, getting enough sleep can make an amazing difference
wow.
in a woman's desire for sex.
Huh. So would you call that sort of a biohack or is that just, I mean,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So I would call that a biohack. I would, because it's something that you do to alter your body's performance and in a good way. And mm-hmm. that's kind of what I think of when I think about biohacks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Working on getting enough sleep is definitely a biohack. There are so many other ones, but that's probably the number one
okay.
That I recommend. And that's actually in, like, I have a PDF that has a whole listing of different biohacks that you can use to have better sex.
Yeah. So no, sleep is like the largest impact of the variables you've got?
Yeah, because that at least that's the number one thing that I hear from women just in terms of why they don't want to have sex. It's just like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. We're doing so much. We're right. usually working inside and outside the house. And then, you know, parents and trying to figure out all the things and coordinate appointments and all of this other stuff. So we usually are doing so much on so little. And we're just tired.
Yeah.
So if we can at least kind of mitigate some of that, then we can help with the sex drive. And then, you know, there's usually other stuff in there, lots of miseducation about, you know, what like you said, is normal, what's supposed to happen. And then being able to communicate what your needs are, or even knowing what you want. Like
yeah.
that was part of my issue. I had gone through depression and didn't know I was depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, couldn't, the only thing that I really wanted to do whenever I had free time was sleeping.
Yeah. I hear that from so many people.
Right.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that that was also part of adrenal fatigue and some other stuff that was happening. And it was just like, I have no idea. Like now that I got my energy back, now that I know what's going on, like I have no idea what makes me feel good. I have no idea what I want. And, you know, just exploring that was a way for me to tap into the pleasure of life, as mm-hmm. opposed to it just being this black and white existence. And I'm making sure I'm ticking off all the boxes and all the stuff gets done. So it really is a process of getting back into what we as women enjoy, and just understanding that we deserve pleasure. Like, we don't have to give all of everything to everybody else and not give to ourselves.
Yeah. It's Jessa here, just taking a quick break. Thanks for listening. Are you interested in being a guest on the show? I'm always looking for people with expertise to share that could enrich other people's sex lives. And I'm also interested in hearing from people who have transformed their own intimate relationship and would want to share their story with my listeners. So if you've got something to contribute to the discussion and want to see about being featured on an upcoming episode, please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, and check out the Be a Guest details. You'll find everything you need there. What are some of the other big things you recommend if people are really looking to get in touch with desire again?
I am a big proponent of journaling because, at least for me, like, I usually have two or three lines of thought going on. And a lot of times they're kind of fighting and arguing. And so when I'm writing things out, it actually helps me to get it out of my head and get some clarity around what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what I actually believe. And so sometimes it's just a matter of brain dump, get it all out. Other times I'll ask questions of myself and journal around the questions. And there's some surprising stuff that comes up in terms of what I think about and what my actual beliefs are. And I'm like, sometimes I look at the journal and I'm like, really? Okay, well, that makes sense. That makes sense for what is happening and why I'm operating the way that I'm operating. So I like to journal. And even with my coaching clients, I'll give them different prompts to journal around just to help them to tap into, you know, the things that make them feel sexy. What turns you on? And I give them those types of questions with the proviso that, you know, yes, they're coming to me for help with sex, but what's happening outside of the bedroom is just as important as what's happening inside the bedroom. So I don't necessarily tell them, okay, tell me, you know, what turns you on or what makes you feel sexy in a sexual sense, like just in general. For me, like, one of the things that really turns me on is dancing. So, you know, if you're, you know, having a dance party in your living room, does that make you feel sexy? So things like that, that are not specific to the bedroom, because overall, what I'm looking to do is to teach women how to bring bits of pleasure into their day-to-day life so that it doesn't feel so overwhelming and it doesn't feel like it's not doable. Like, I have my clinical work, I have my coaching work, plus a few other things that I'm doing. And I really don't have time to have like a 2-hour process. It's like, no, I got 15 minutes.
Yeah.
What can I do in 15 minutes? So those are the things that I try to pass on as habits for the women to develop so that they can do it and actually get to a place where it's incorporated into their lives.
Yeah. And it sounds like you're talking about cultivating, you know, pleasure and energy, life force, whatever, across your whole life. So it's not like it's supposed to magically switch on when you cross the bedroom threshold. You know, like, right.
You've set your boudoir up that way.
Yeah. But for a lot of people, it's a hard trend. You know, they can't turn on a dime. So it's helpful to sort of get that flowing through the rest of life, it seems like.
Exactly. And it's important to know that as women, we need transition time. Because our brains, again, are just going a mile a minute with 15 different things. So in order to really enjoy sex, you've got to be present in sex and present in the moment. And so you do need a good 15 minutes of transition time just for yourself to say, hey, I'm ready. Okay, let's do this.
All right. So you mentioned menopause, which makes me think, I mean, there's pre-menopause and there's in menopause, but it also makes me wonder if you see different issues for women of different ages, like different decades, or are there different things that are really driving a struggle with libido? Or is menopause sort of the only dividing line?
Well, what we see, and even what the data has shown, is that women who are in menopause who are struggling with libido and desire, they tend to have had that struggle even before they got to menopause, because a lot of it has to do with our thoughts and ideas and what we've been taught about what sex and pleasure should be throughout the course of our lives. And a lot of women I see who are in that menopausal space are like, well, it's supposed to go away, right? My desire is supposed to go away. Like, I'm not supposed to want it. And it's like, no, that's not how it's supposed to go, actually. And, you know, probably one of the things that is most specific to menopause is just the pain issues because of the dryness and not having as much elasticity and things. But otherwise, the struggles tend to be the same. Still is fatigue.
Yeah.
It's a sleep issue, but it's a different, well, it's still about, you know, interrupted sleep, not sleeping well, but more so from the hot flashes and night sweats.
Not so much the babies anymore, right?
Not the babies anymore, but there's still interruptions.
Yeah.
Which also can lead to depression. And that depression in and of itself can lower the libido. And then the medications that you take can lower libido. So it's like this cycle of things.
Yeah.
But menopause in and of itself is not specifically a time where, okay, your libido is just going to take a nosedive and it should. Like, so much.
Do you see many young women, 20s, that are struggling with desire? Is that mostly just coming from the messaging that they've gotten? You know, the way they've been sort of taught to think about pleasure and sex?
I think part of it is the messaging. I think also a part of it is this idea that they are supposed to just automatically have these desires for sex, and that, you know, what was happening maybe in the beginning of the relationship should still be going on. And it's like, well, the things that you were doing in the beginning of the relationship are a little different now. You're not sitting and having date nights where you're staring into each other's eyes. Like, both of you are running around trying to make sure that everything gets done. If you are sitting together, you're probably both on your phones looking at social media and doing other stuff and really not having, you know, kind of those deeper conversations. You get to the point where you feel comfortable with the other person and that you know all that there is to know about your partner. And it's like, okay, well, what else is there to ask?
Right. Exactly.
Like, what else should I know about you? Like, I know your favorite color. I know, you know, what happened to you in kindergarten with that person pushing you down. Like, what else should I be thinking about or asking? And I think we feel like we run out of stuff to talk about. But even having just a date night where you have meaningful conversations about, you know, what are your dreams? What are your aspirations? Where do you see us in 5 years? You know, what is it, you know, sexually that you would like to experience with me? You know, what are some new fantasies, if you've already discussed fantasies? Because half the time we haven't even discussed the fantasies, right? So having a conversation even around sex and what that means and what you'd like to see and what you would like to do with your partner and vice versa can be very much a bonding experience, a place to create intimacy. And then just actually having date nights and letting them be about spending time and having meaningful conversation instead of running through the list of, well, this needs to get done. Can you pick up some milk and and having that not be a piece of you bonding.
Yeah, I think a lot of people sort of treat their sex life, their intimate connection, like it's supposed to just run on autopilot. Like, we get it going and it should just run forever or something without any attention or, you know, putting a little bit more energy into it.
Yeah, you've got to be intentional about it. And which is, you know, the thing that you have to do about most things that are important to you. You have to be intentional about it. You have to put some time and effort into it. And my goal is to make it not so much work and so much effort.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned women that are struggling with orgasm. What's the basic approach you use with that women that are Maybe not like anorgasmic, like they've never had mm-hmm. one. That's probably a little different than somebody who's, you know, has had orgasms, mm-hmm. but now is somehow struggling with that.
Yeah, it is a little bit different. For women who are struggling, probably the number one thing is that we've got to get two things. First thing is anatomy. Just knowing that mm-hmm. there's more than one or two spots for stimulation to yeah. orgasm. There's at least 10. And just educating about those spots and how you can stimulate them and all of that. So that's the first thing. The second piece goes back to what I said in terms of getting present and just yeah. being in the moment. Because a lot of times we're laying there. First of all, we're like, okay, it's been a couple weeks. I probably should. Okay, I'm going to do it. And then you get into it and you're like, okay, you got 5 good minutes. And then I got to go do the laundry. So we're not even into it. And it's like, okay, well, if you would like to enjoy it, you know, maybe let's do a little bit of foreplay. Let's get you, you know, into the mood. You do what you get into it and you be present. One of the tips that I give is just, you know, focus on one of the 5 senses. So are you listening to how your breathing is changing? Are you listening to how your partner's breathing is changing? You know, focus on one area that your partner may be touching, you know, and just enjoy that and see if that helps to kind of bring you back into the moment. So, yeah. So those are probably the first 2 things that we work on.
Yeah. That sounds like it would probably be similar for somebody who's never had an orgasm yet either.
A little, but sometimes they, because they've never had one, the difference comes in educating about kind of the different types of orgasms that you can have, like the different sensations that you get in terms of some just being these, you know, explosive fireworks. It just, your whole body is just like, ah. And then other times, you know, it can be just, you know, you feel this incredible sense of satisfaction and your body just gets warm and tingly all over. So just understanding that there are different ways that an orgasm can manifest itself, and kind of teaching to that, and then just giving them permission to have fun and stimulate their body without actually having to reach orgasm.
Yeah. And alone sometimes too, right? Yeah. Not with a partner, not with the pressure mm-hmm. of somebody waiting or yes. watching or, you know, invested in this, the freedom to take your time and explore. I have been surprised how many people have told me in my practice that they're not sure if they've had an orgasm. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just caught me off guard. And I don't know if it's because they have this expectation that the angels are supposed to come out and sing and it should be this earth-shattering thing. And that's not mm-hmm. what it felt like. So maybe I haven't. So it's interesting when you're talking about educating the various ways that people experience that. I mean, it's really yeah. all over the place, right?
It really is. It really is. And like you said, I have quite a few clients who come to me and they're like, yeah, no, I have no idea if I've actually ever had an orgasm.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do and yeah. go from there.
Yeah. Well, what's the one takeaway you would want people to leave the show with? Do you think if there was going to be one sort of message or main point, what do you want them to know?
I think it would be just that you are worthy of pleasure. Mm-hmm. You are worthy and deserving of pleasure. You don't have to work to earn it. It's not something that you have to, you know, strive for in the sense of I gotta do this, I gotta do that, and then I can have it. Yes, there are some things that need to be done intentionally, but just because you are here, you are worthy of pleasure. Mm. And invite it in.
Love that. All right. So where can people find you? You mentioned a PDF of biohacks, but I don't know what else you might want to mention that is mm-hmm. available for people who are intrigued by your work. So where can they, okay. where can they go and what do you have?
Well, I have quite a few things.
Okay.
But the biohacks PDF, you can go to biohacksforbettersex.com to get that download. That's the quick and easy way.
Right.
You can also go to my website at drbrandymd.com. It's drbrandye.com or md.com.
Right.
And there you can, you know, if you would like to set up a strategy session with me, you can do that. You can also purchase my book, My Oh My, A Committed Woman's Guide to Getting the Great Sex She Deserves. That's, you know, just like a short read, but it's simple and easy and gives you kind of an outline of what you can do to get your sexy back.
Yeah. Sounds great. I'll put the links too in the show notes so it's easy for people to access.
Okay, perfect.
Great. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you. This is really fun. This is one of the subjects that I really get excited to talk about. So I'm right. always happy when I get to talk about it. So thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Better Sex. Please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, for show notes and additional episodes.
And that's a wrap for today. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, if some of this material resonates with you and you would like to make a difference and make sure that this keeps coming out in the world once a week, ongoing, there are a couple things you could do to show your appreciation. The first would be to go to iTunes and rate and review the show. That really helps us be found by new listeners when you review the show on iTunes. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/iTunes. The other thing I want to invite you to consider is becoming a Patreon. For a small monthly pledge, you get some benefits. So for $2 a month, you get advance access to every single episode. For $5 a month, you get a chapter of my upcoming new book. And for $10 a month, I host quarterly get to know you and question and answer chats over the web, and you get invited to that. I would love to have your membership in that become part of the Better Sex family. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/Patreon, which is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Again, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're here. Feel free to comment, ask questions, get in touch. I'd love to hear from listeners. Thanks.